Hey, filmmakers, this is Herschel Zond with the Film Aspire podcast. You're listening to us at filmaspire.podomatic.com. You can also check us out on iTunes, keyword Film Aspire, and all of our episodes are archived at renegadeartproductions.com. How is everybody doing? It has been a while. We've been extremely busy here at Film Aspire and Renegade Art and Sentimental Journey and Acting for Your Life, all those wonderful organizations that are all interconnected, but we have been extremely busy with the Derby season here in Louisville, Kentucky. We've been doing a lot of performing and did a whole bunch of singing down at Lynn's Paradise Cafe, which we're always glad to give a shout out to. So head out to Lynn's Paradise Cafe if you are in the Louisville area. It's always a wonderful place to get a bite to eat and have some incredible atmosphere, but we'll get more on that in a minute. We are slowly creeping up on our 60th episode, which we're really excited about. We've got a whole mess of things that are going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks that we're going to be talking about and plugging and all sorts of things like that. But first of all, let's go to our sponsors and give them a little shout out. First of all, here in just over 40 days, we have the Fright Night Film Festival / Fandom Fest, which will be going on in Louisville, Kentucky, the weekend of June 29th, 30th, and July 1st. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This event is going to be huge at the Galt House in Louisville, Kentucky. We've got names coming in like Bruce Campbell, Sean Astin, John Rhys Davies, Jason Priestley, Luke Perry, Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead, Jeffrey Demune from The Walking Dead. We've got 100 crazy celebrities. We've got over 120 films of all lengths being shown, shorts and features. Great film festival. If you are working on your film, it's too late to get it in there for this year, but if you are working on a sci-fi or horror film, it is a great festival to debut your film at. I highly recommend it. So go over to FrightNightFilmFest.com or FandomFest.com to get all the juicy details on the wonderful things going on over there at Fright Night, and we'll be there with Film Aspire and Renegade Art. We've got a booth going to be setting up, and we're going to be screening our feature film, Girl Number 3, as well as our latest release, which is a short called Tolerance. Both of those are available on our website. You can go to renegadeartproductions.com. That's renegadeartproductions, one word, .com, and go to the junk trunk, and all of our stuff is available online there. So, what I want to talk to you about, normally, if you're new to the show, we try and talk about things that are, you know, related to independent filmmaking and how you can better the work that you're doing by either, you know, tips and tricks or equipment review, things like this. This is not a film review show. We're kind of new in this category of film and TV, so let me reiterate for any new listeners we might have. This is not a film review show. You will never hear me complaining about sparkly vampires or why George Lucas should call it quits, neither of which I really care about. I just love that people are making movies. That's not what this show is about. This show is about helping people who want to either A, get into filmmaking and they have no idea where to start. That's our primary audience. Or sometimes there are things that even veteran professionals that have come to me and said, hey, you've got some good things to say, just need to be reminded of. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of the right thing to do or to think outside the box. So that's our goal. And today's show, normally I try to have some kind of a related to film topic, but today's show is almost purely motivational. As I said, yeah, my wonderful partner. Oh, I almost forgot about my partner. Hey, well, you know, sometimes you just have to. No, not really. You could never forget about the lovely Miss Catherine Ray Furrow and the Acting for Your Life podcast. You can go over to actingforyourlife.org or actingforyourlife.podomatic.com. Catherine runs a show for actors, and it's an actor resource that I'm very proud to be a part of for life management, professional development, everything from financials, how to balance your checkbook, to professional development in how to properly give a good audition, how to process a good headshot, how to, you know, understand what a good headshot photographer is going to do for you. These are all things that we discuss in our workshop. We've got a little more information about upcoming workshops coming up at the end of the show. But Ms. Furrow is incredibly knowledgeable on such things, so I encourage you to, as soon as you get done listening to my words of wisdom, and you click on the like page and you set up your iTunes account to download every new episode that we ever do, because I know you're going to do that, because you're awesome people. My listeners are the best in the world. I highly encourage you to go over to actingforyourlife.podomatic.com and follow, link, join, pay attention to every word she has to say, because she is brilliant. So, now, we'll get into the meat of the show. We were at Lynn's Paradise Cafe, and for a number of years, I have been at Lynn's on the Derby weekends and the Mother's Day weekends to do my Sinatra show, because I am a swing jazz big band performer, and to my knowledge, the only actual functioning Frank Sinatra impersonator in the city, in the Kentuckiana region. And I have a show that I did for years called the Young Blue Eyes Show, and it was just me singing mostly Frank Sinatra tunes. I didn't really branch too far beyond that, because it was a genre thing, and I wanted to keep it pretty steady. And when I hooked up with Catherine and started working with Catherine, I found out she loved the same kind of music, and we had actually been performing the same kind of music while she was in New York and I was still here in Kentucky. And we decided to join forces and get together and do a show ourselves, and we did that, and we've now become a different entity called Sentimental Journey, and we have a podcast for that as well. It's sentimentaljourney.podomatic.com, and you can hear all of our live shows. Anytime we do a big live show that's a through concert, we like to record it and get it up there. But we have all sorts of music now, from everything from Frank and Dean and Bobby and Sammy Davis Jr., and we have Etta James and Rosemary Clooney and you name it, we do it all. And we were down there at Lynn's on Derby weekend. And for those of you who are not familiar with how Derby works around here, we call it Kentucky Christmas. Everything shuts down. It's kind of an odd thing to have all the schools let out and nobody goes to school 3 weeks before the semester ends. But we have all sorts of events. It's a 2-week party for a 2-minute horse race. It kicks off with the biggest fireworks show in the world, and it culminates in probably the second or third largest most viewed sporting event in the world. So we were down there at Lynn's, and we were hired to go in on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to perform. Well, Friday was a pretty, it can vary on its slowness. Sometimes it has a lot of people in the morning, and then by the end of the day, it's just dead, because everybody's gone out to the track for what we call the Oaks. It's another race. And we were there switching off with another band. They do 20 minutes, we do 20 minutes, and just kind of switching back and forth so we don't kill ourselves. And toward the end of our shift, it just really started dying down. There was nobody around. We were under this tent, and there was probably 10, 15 tables set up in this tent, and there's nobody sitting in the tent. I mean, not a single person. And the other band was doing their set, and they'd been playing for about 5, 10 minutes. And finally, they looked back at us, because we were just kind of sitting there listening to them, and they said, "Well, I think we're done. There's nobody here." And I looked at Catherine and said, "Well, what do you want to do?" And she wisely said, as I was thinking, we're paid until 2 o'clock. We're going to sing until 2 o'clock. So we let the other band break their stuff down, and then we set our stuff back up and started to do our set. And we're kind of sing-songing through and, giving a good performance, because we look at any opportunity to sing in public as an opportunity to get our message out and to get our names out there. And given the same performance that we would give if we had 100 people in the audience or if we had chairs. And let me tell you, there's no captive audience like a group of chairs. They can't go anywhere. They're inanimate. So we're going along, and we're going a little slower than we normally would, admittedly. We're only singing one song about every 2-3 minutes, we'll take a break. And this woman comes up, and she starts talking to me, and, we'd gotten really down to the end of the shift. It was about 2 o'clock, and we were going to do one more song and then quit. And we finished the song, and Catherine went to get the car so I could start breaking down all the equipment. And this woman comes up, and we start chit-chatting, and we're talking for a little bit. And she says, "Well, I really enjoyed your music." And I said, "Well, thank you." And she bought a CD, because we have our CD out, which if you go to sentimental-journey.net, you can find out all the information about our CD and how to order that. And she said, "Well, my son is here, and he's home from New York." So instantly my interest is piqued. And he was kind of enjoying your performance, too. When he comes out, I'd like you to talk to him. And I said, "Okay, that'd be great. We always love talking to people." And he's like, "Well, he's a manager." And I said, "Oh, that's interesting." So, of course, my wheels are turning at 100 miles an hour at this point, because anytime somebody says that, there's a million things that go through your head. So he comes out, and Catherine got back, and we talked for a little bit and told him about some of the stuff that we'd done, that we'd actually performed in New York, and he knew the clubs. And, we're just kind of taking it with a grain of salt, because you never really know. You have to protect yourself. And we exchanged information, and he was going to listen to the CD, and he wanted us to call him. So, instantly we got on to our contacts in the city and found out that this gentleman is actually one of the most sought-after managers in New York right now. And he covers Broadway vocalists and just pure vocalists, that are not interested in stage acting. So there's a contact. That's not even the best part. The best part of this story is while we're talking and we're wrapping up with this gentleman and his lovely mother, I look up and I see somebody walk out of Lynn's, and they look extremely familiar. It's a moderate height young lady. She's very beautiful. She's got very short black hair, wearing big sunglasses, and I kept looking at her, and I cocked my head at a couple different angles, and all of a sudden I said, oh my gosh, that's Jennifer Goodwin. Jennifer Goodwin, who is, of course, the star of ABC's Once Upon a Time. I believe she was also on a couple of other of the Lost family shows. She's just standing there in the parking lot, and then I look up, and who comes out right behind her? It's Josh Dallas, who plays Prince Charming. So Snow White and Prince Charming just walked out of Lynn's. And I look at Catherine and I was like, okay, I'm a huge fan of this show. I've got to be a geek. So I run over and I just want to say hello. And we started chit-chatting a little bit. And actually, interesting little tidbit, Josh Dallas is from this area. My wife actually went to school with him and danced with him when she was in dance. So we got to chit-chatting a little bit about that, and he remembered her, and we ended up exchanging information there, and we gave them a CD, so they have a copy of our CD. So right there, within 5-10 minutes, we've got two up-and-coming Hollywood players that have our CD, and we have a highly sought-after manager from New York City that have our CD. So we've covered coast-to-coast in 5 minutes. Now, what's the point? My point is, sometimes you have to sing to the empty tent. Sometimes you have to keep going, no matter what's going on in your world, okay? The mortgage is due, the electric bill's about to be turned off. You can't make ends meet. You've got to decide whether to buy a new chip to make your camera work. You have to decide whether to buy a light bulb for your lights so that you can light a scene, or eat. And we make those choices. As artists, we sometimes have to bear the burden of being starving artists for a little while. And a starving artist, I mean, there are some people out there that believe that that is a lifestyle choice. And Catherine and I are of the opinion that that's something that you have to endure, but it's not something to aspire to. And that's kind of made some people mad, and I apologize if that upsets you, but that's how we think. And that's my belief. I believe that being a starving artist for a period of time is probably a good thing. It teaches you a lot about yourself. But all artists have to be business people too. And this, we call it the movie business for a reason. There is plenty of room to be an artist, but you also have to be business-minded. And sometimes you just have to endure. And that's what we learned from that event. If we had, at 2:15 when the other band packed up, at 1:15 when the other band packed up and said, we're done, there's nobody here, if we had left at that point, we would not have made those two contacts. We would not have met those three or four individuals that we met. But we chose to endure for a singer, singing and doing a show when there's nobody in the audience, that's horrible. That's horrifying. It's one of the most terrifying things that we have is, you know, having to perform and nobody's there to hear you. But we did. We endured. We sang to the empty tent, and look what happened. We made those connections. And if you really look at the artists and the art professionals that are successful, they all, at some point or another, have faced singing to the empty tent. They have faced a point in their career where they could not buy food, they could not pay their mortgage, they could not pay rent on their apartment, and they had to endure that for just a little bit longer. They thought they were at the end of their rope, and I'm going to share a couple of these examples. They thought they were at the end of their rope, and they endured just a little bit longer. And it happened, finally. I've got three examples. First one that comes to mind is Patrick Dempsey. Patrick Dempsey, who, of course, is Grey's Anatomy and is now enjoying a resurgence of his career to the feature film world, he was about to give up. He had, you know, been the child star. He had done a lot of films, but he went through a very lean period, probably 5, 7, 10 years, something like that. He didn't have a lot of work, and he and his wife were about to pack it in, and he was going to get a regular corporate job and let that be it. And he hung on just a little bit longer. He said, give me one more year. And in that year, landed Grey's Anatomy, landed several of these feature film roles, and now he's again one of the biggest stars in Hollywood. I mean, we all know who he is. One of my favorite stories is Michael J. Fox. Michael J. Fox, if you ever want to read a great book about just an individual who has had ups and downs and has weathered them and can always see The Silver Lining in the Cloud. Go rent or go get a copy of Lucky Man. It's a very old book. You can probably get it on Amazon for about a penny now. But it's called Lucky Man, and it's Michael J. Fox's autobiography. And he talks about, you know, being in Hollywood in the late 70s, early 80s, coming down from Canada. He didn't have money. He's driving his agent's car around because he doesn't have his own car. And I remember a portion of the book he was talking about, he had to go make a phone call to his agent to find out where to go to. He had two auditions, and he was supposed to call the agent for the second audition. Pulled over to a phone booth, and that tells you how old this story is, and went digging for change and looked up and saw some kind of a thing. It was a McDonald's or something like that. And he said there was something about chicken fingers or chicken McNuggets for 99 cents. And he thought, wow, wouldn't it be great to have 99 cents so I could eat? Then he came out of his reverie, made his phone call, went to the audition, and ended up landing Family Ties. And that's where his career blew up. And it blew up to the point that he actually reached the other extreme of a performing artist's career of having too much work. And, you know, there's the famous story of Spielberg and Bob Zemeckis really wanting him for Back to the Future, and his producer hid the script from him and wasn't allowed to give him the script. And then after they started filming, Zemeckis and Spielberg came back and said, please let him read the script. And he did, and said, you know, I'm not going to write you out of a single episode of, you know, Family Ties. You have to do every episode of Family Ties, and then you can go and make this movie. And that's why a lot of Back to the Future is actually set at night, because he would do Family Ties all day and then go and do Back to the Future all night, get an hour of sleep, and do it all over again. And there's a crazy story, actually. He was backstage at a taping of Family Ties and went tearing through the prop tables trying to find Marty McFly's video camera because he couldn't find the camera, and he had totally forgotten that he was on the set of Family Ties instead of Back to the Future. So the last one I'll share with you is an artist who really endured, and it's Naomi Watts. And she is one of the more inspirational stories. She's Australian, and she spent years and years and years going, saving money in Australia, flying to LA, lasting as long as she possibly could until she had just enough money to fly back to Australia. She'd get a waitressing job, start saving money again and again and again, and she'd fly back to LA. And she did that for years. I think she did that seven times, that cycle. And finally, she landed something, and now, you know, she can do work for years and years. So you have to endure occasionally singing to that empty tent. And if you do, you will be rewarded. You will find that measure of success. And success can only be, you know, truly measured by your own expectations, how far you intend to go. I've met plenty of Hollywood actors who are perfectly content being utility actors, and they are perfectly content to have a career. They don't need limelight. They don't want spotlight. They love the fact that they can go to work, play their role, get on the bus, and go home. They don't need the throngs of adoring fans. So your expectations and what you want as an artist, and we all want to be known, we all want to be recognized, but your expectations of being an artist can only truly measure your success. Okay, and we did the podcast a few months ago on reasonable expectations. Your reasonable expectations are set by you, and the standards by which you live your life can only truly be set and measured by you. I realized a long time ago that this is something I realized just the other week when I was walking around my job. I realized that really the only level of expectation that I can hold other people to is the same level of expectation I hold myself to. So, and you know, luckily for me, that's pretty high. I hold myself to a very high standard, so I hold other people to that same high standard. I expect high standard of work and high standard of quality out of all the people that work with me, because I expect such high standards of work out of myself. Okay, that's going to be the soapbox for this episode. We've got lots of exciting things going on. As I said, the Acting for Your Life workshop series is back on the road in June. We are heading south. We are heading to sunny Florida to teach at this little known, little teeny tiny eensy beatsy amusement park called Walt Disney World. Hello! Yes, Acting for Your Life is taking over Disney World, and we're extremely excited. We have spaces available still for you to be a part of that incredible first workshop that we're going to be doing at Disney, because we're going to be very positive and believe that we're going to do many, many more. But we have spaces available, so go to actingforyourlife.org. You can get more information or send an email to actingforyourlife@gmail.com. There are special packages available for staying on the Disney property. There's all sorts of fun stuff going on there, so I won't even try and go into it in words because I get too excited talking about it. So go to actingforyourlife.org to get more information, or simply send an email to actingforyourlife@gmail.com. We've got, again, screenings of Girl Number 3. We're going to be screening at the Fright Night Film Festival. I'm going to get more information on the exact time. I believe we're screening on Friday. Ken Daniels is still trying to get me that information because there are so many films. We have so many films for the festival this year, we can't even hardly fit them all into the schedule. We're going to be screening films until 2 a.m. every day. It's incredibly exciting. We've got all sorts of fun stuff going on with the Fright Night Film Festival. There's just so much going on right now, I can't even fit it all into the podcast. So I'm going to say, guys, goodbye for now. If you have any questions, comments, show topic suggestions, please do send us an email to filmaspire@live.com. We always love to hear from you. And to the rest of you, I say, I have sung to the empty tent. And whether you're making the one-man opus or you're controlling a set of, with a crew of 50 and a cast of thousands, you sing to that empty tent long enough, people will begin to listen. We believe in you. We believe in everything you're trying to do. And I encourage you, at all times, every day, whether you're shooting through the week, you're shooting on the weekends, and wee hours of the morning, paying your crew and beer, whatever your goal is, wherever you are, you can achieve it. And we believe in you. And I want to encourage you every day to get out there and tell your story.